On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. One of the most perplexing players in this 2018 NFL draft is Derwin James. You talk to folks about him, and they love him. You talk to people at FSU. Josh Norris raved about him. I mean, people think he could be it. He could be the next Eric Berry, like a real impact player on the back end. And yet, in some mock drafts, he's going 17, he's going 20. It's hard to figure out Derwin James. So I'm joined here by Mitch Tischler and Pete Haley. What's up, boys?
What's up, guys?
Pete seems tired.
Yeah, Pete seems a little beat.
Draft week is just wearing on me. But
can't even speak into the mic. We try to keep him away from the mic. Now we're trying to have him talk, and he won't even talk into it.
So many pods to be produced, but I do it because I love this podcast. It is making me a little bit sleepy, though.
Draft week's no joke. We're giving you new pods every day, and you better be listening because we're working our butts off to get them done. Right, Mitchell?
We are. We have a lot. We just were running through them, and it's every day we got a new one for you guys.
What do you have the schedule there? And some of these dates might change, but let's just talk about the interviews and everything we have kind of coming up.
We got Tremaine Edmonds coming at you, I believe, tomorrow. And then we have NFL Draft Guru.
Is that good? Yeah, I mean, NFL Network Draft Analyst, Charles Davis.
Okay, that works.
He's the man. That was such a good interview, fun interview.
It was fun and very informative.
Yeah, he's the man.
Tuesday, we will have a wrap-up of Redskins have a pre-draft availability with Doug Williams.
I was wondering, so it's going
to
be Doug?
I believe it's Doug. Don't hold me to that, but I believe it's going to be Doug. So we'll wrap around some of what Doug says, and we'll break down.
And that'll be me, you, Chandler, talking, figuring things out, seeing where. Because who knows, by Tuesday night, there might have been some moves, things.
There could be moves.
It's a fluid situation.
Yeah, yeah. And then
I don't expect moves from the Redskins, just so we're clear.
Wednesday, we can get a little bit of an air horn right here, Pete.
Meow, 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 meow.
We got J.P. Finley, who's going to tell us a little bit about his mega mock.
The mega mock's going to be dope. Oh, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about it, J.P.
I've reached out to almost everyone in town. I've reached out to a number of media folks in D.C. that cover the Redskins, that are around the Redskins, and I'm trying to get a pick from everybody. I want to be honest. I got this idea from Grant and Danny. I think they still do it, where they get a bunch of beat reporters to come on draft day and make their pick. You know, the pod is different than a radio show, and I think there's space for us in a podcast world to get to reach out a little bit wider, cast a broader net, and then you guys can listen to what everybody makes their pick. Chad Dukes might have had the funniest pick, so be ready for that.
And you guys all get that the night before the draft starts. So you'll have a good idea of what everybody thinks, what everybody wants the Redskins to do.
Maybe earlier than that, right?
Hopefully earlier than that, but
so we got a ton of, and then we're going to do drafts Thursday night. We're going to do drafts. We're going to do podcasts Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday.
Summing up each pick, summing up what the Redskins did, summing up how they look on the new look squad.
We're going to work, boys.
Sure are.
All right. But enough with all that. Enough with the hype about what's coming. Here's what's coming right now. Tom Block is the sideline reporter for the Seminole Radio Network. He used to host a television show with Jimbo Fisher. He might, if I had to guess, he might host a television show in the future with Willie Taggart. This dude knows Florida State, and this dude knows Derwin James. Let's try to figure out just who Derwin James is, and if he makes sense for the Redskins at 13. Let's go to Tom right now. Real quick word from our sponsors.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Very excited to have our next guest, Tom Block. He's the sideline reporter for the Seminole Radio Network. You can find him at underscore Tom Block on Twitter. This dude knows everything there is to know about Florida State football. Tom, thanks for joining us, man.
You bet. And if I don't know it, I'll just fake it for you, right?
It's the podcast world, man. That's perfect. It's pretty obvious why we're talking. Derwin James, to me, he's become, it seems like the scouts can't figure this guy out because certain people you talk to, Josh Norris is a friend of mine, Roto World guy. He has Derwin as the best defensive player available in this draft. And I've talked to reporters from Tallahassee. I've talked to some scouts around there, and they love him. Yet in a lot of mock drafts, you see him going 18. You see him going 19. Who is Derwin James? What can he do in the NFL?
Well, he's a really good football player. And in terms of the mock draft number, I mean, part of that may be the position he plays. But if you talk to people who've been around Florida State, what they'll tell you about Derwin is that he's a guy who absolutely eats, sleeps, breathes football. Now, you know this because you've done your homework. He was at FSU 3 years but didn't play but one game his sophomore year. And had some rust at the start of his junior year. And then I think probably mid-season last year, he started to look a lot more like the freshman Derwin James. But he comes downhill in a hurry. He gets there with violence, if you will. I mean, he's a missile when he attacks. He played at all three levels at FSU, which sounds crazy. I mean, he's a safety, but in a lot of, you know, really he's the eighth guy in the box a lot of times, could be a linebacker. But Florida State would use him in obvious passing situations. They'd basically walk him up to the line of scrimmage and let him pick a gap and rush through that. Now, you're less likely to see that at the NFL level. But I think the number one thing that if you talk to a coach that was on Jimbo's staff here, they would tell you that if you were going to play football at 3 in the morning in the Walmart parking lot, the first guy who would be there ready to go at 3 a.m. would be Derwin James. So they love him from that standpoint. I mean, he's just all football and represented himself well his whole time at FSU.
That's funny. One guy I talked to, Ryan Clark, who used to write for War Chant, I think, told a story that Derwin James has been hit by a car like 4 times, but the joke was the cars were more beat up than Derwin James. It was a pretty remarkable story. I don't know if you've heard that as well, or
I think I remember reading that
legend.
Yeah, I think I remember reading that when Ryan wrote it, and Ryan's out on the West Coast now. But yeah, Derwin's a guy that you know, he just you could see him, and I didn't follow him then. But you know, the guy's in middle school, the guy's in ninth grade, and it's obvious that this is that kind of freak athlete. And he committed to Florida State very early, and really emerged as a freshman. And came on. Now, Florida State the last few years has not been what they were the few years prior to that. And I think maybe, you know, nationally, maybe that's why he's perhaps not as big a name as he would have been. But his freshman year, he came in and had 91 tackles and was just really, really impressive. I mean,
there's some high sacks his freshman year.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And that's nuts.
Yeah, well, and that's when they started using him. You know, they had a whole plan in place. They used it a little bit that year where they would walk him up and they'd rush him at times. But there's some highlights of him taking down Lamar Jackson in the open field. Then his sophomore year, he got hurt in game two, and that was against the Patsy. So, I mean, there was a lot of frustration from Florida State fans. FSU had that game in hand, and he got hurt early in the third quarter and wound up missing his whole sophomore year.
So I want to dig down a little bit on that. What was the injury? What have kind of the aftershocks been from the injury?
Yeah, the aftershocks are none now. It was a meniscus in one of his knees, and I don't recall offhand, and sure. There's sort of two ways they can repair that. You know, the shorter way, maybe the way they'd fix it at the NFL level is to kind of cut some out and get them back on the field more quickly. FSU opted to do what was not as good for FSU short-term, but was better for Derwin long-term, which is to let it heal naturally. And for the doctors that are listening, that may not be the best explanation, but they basically took a better route for Derwin. They wound up shutting him down
just
for the whole year.
Rest and rehab route.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, there was a surgical procedure. I just don't recall offhand the difference, but they didn't take the quicker route where he could have come back in, say, 3 weeks or 4 weeks. You know, they let it. I don't know if it's grow back or heal back, but it was not structural. It wasn't ligament. It was nothing like that. And it was just a freak thing early in the third quarter, as I said, against a nobody. I don't even recall who.
And fans were mad just that he was even on the field in a blowout kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. Exactly. It would have been the seventh quarter of the season, and it was really early, probably more than 10 minutes left to go in the third quarter. And so they were probably had their defense there. They had their ones out there for another couple series just to get them some reps because the meat of the schedule was coming up, and it's just one of those things that broke the wrong way for FSU.
So we get to 2017 this past season. I guess he got a medical red shirt in 2016 because he played so little, and so he was still listed as a sophomore. Am I right on that?
You know, I don't even know if they filed the paperwork because everybody knew he was going to be gone after 3 years, so it really didn't matter.
Gotcha.
I guess technically they probably did that, but everybody knew that he was going to be gone after this year. He was that good of an athlete.
Special talent, right. All right, so – Let's talk about, you know, this, his third year, for lack of a better word. You said he started a little slow, and then he really started to come on. All I can do is look at box scores. I'm not on the sideline, you know, in Doak Campbell like you are. But to me, the BC game kind of jumps out as a double-digit tackle game. Is that where things kind of started to turn once they got into October, or was it earlier than that?
No, I would say that's about right into October. I think one of the things that happened is, you know, you get this hype train. And so I remember
the hype going into the Bama game. That I remember
right.
All the, you know, game day pieces about Derwin, and they're all comparing him to Ramsey.
And it might have been Sports Illustrated that tabbed him to win the Heisman. I mean, somebody touted him as the best player in America. So when you get that stuck to you and everybody's watching the FSU-Alabama game, unless you score four touchdowns and have 26 tackles, you haven't lived up to the hype. So
right.
I think the reality is he never played poorly. He just, you could see some rust come off. And as the season went on, he looked more like the Derwin that we had seen as a freshman year. You know, I call it rust. Some of that is probably trusting the knee, trusting your assignments, trusting what you know about the game, and then getting more comfortable so where you're not thinking about it, you're just reacting. But nobody's going to question his football acumen, and obviously his knee checked out when they looked at it at the combine. I mean, there's not going to be any lingering effects there. And he really, the last six games of the season or so, you know, he was as good as what we expected. Now, he didn't play the bowl game, which is a whole different conversation, and that's related to guys that know they're going to get a check at the next level opting to sit out. That's sort of the way of the times right now. So he finished up during the regular season.
Gotcha. Yeah, and, I mean, just looking at box scores again, you see that he starts to fill up lots of columns, tackles for loss, half a sack, a pick late in the year. So you saw Micah Fitzpatrick when the Noles played Bama to open the year. Tell me, so I think the Redskins may have a decision on their hands at 13. I think Minka might be gone already, but maybe Derwin's the better player. I've heard both sides being argued. How do you weigh in on that?
Well, you know, I'm going to weigh in on the Garnet and Gold side, but to be fair to Minka, I have not, you know, I haven't studied him, and what I do, I haven't sat down and analyzed him versus Derwin. And Jimbo, he was asked about it at Texas A&M, you know, earlier this week, and he sort of said the same thing, which is, you know, I didn't see everybody play, but, you know, I'm going to take this guy because I coached him and I know what he can do. It's hard for me to argue against Derwin for all the points that I've laid out there.
Sure.
Really a physical freak, passionate about the game, good character, as best I can tell from being around him.
He's huge. I mean, you don't usually get guys 6'3", 210. You know, 6'3 stands out for a secondary guy.
Yeah, and he's a freak athletically. I mean, that's how the hype train got out of control. One other thing I would say that was evident when he was sitting out, and this everybody's a little bit different on it. He's not a guy that you would, even though he wasn't dressed out in his second year, he was in the action. I mean, he is in there wearing his jersey when the defense is off the field. He's coaching up the rest of the secondary guys. It's not like he was disassociated and just kind of standing quietly on the sideline. I mean, he's up there. Here's a good example of how competitive he is. This was the spring game, I guess, going into his third year. You know, he knows the signals because you're playing an inter-squad scrimmage. And so he's watching the signals come into the opposing defense, and he's immediately screaming to the receivers, hey, this is cover two. This is what they're doing on this play, because he's so competitive and he wants to see his team end up winning the spring game. So, I mean, he's right there next to the coaches. They would all, if you talk to every defensive coach for Florida State, they love the guy. No question about it.
Do you think it's nuts that he might slip to past 15 or something?
For me, if he goes below 15, I would say, yeah, that's nuts to me. I mean, because this guy's a longtime NFL player in my mind. You know, I get why you're going to get quarterbacks first and he's not going to be a top five guy. But to me, he needs to come off the board before 15. He's that good a player.
Did he have a knee injury in high school, too?
Not that I recall. Okay. I don't think so.
I'm just looking at his profile on NFL.com, and it said has a torn ACL in medical history. I wonder if that's just kind of inaccurate, you know, just the meniscus, the ACL, they kind of lumped it together or something.
Yeah, it was not an ACL
okay.
that I'm aware of at all. If it was an ACL, that was not reported here in Tallahassee.
And we're talking 2 years ago. I imagine people were losing sleep when this kid got hurt, so everything got reported about his knee. All right, so it seems to me like...
You know, by the way, side note real quick.
Sure.
I want to say it was called A Season With, but Showtime has done some documentaries of different programs. They did Notre Dame the first year, and the year Derwin got hurt, they were following Florida State. So their cameras were everywhere. So I don't know if that's on YouTube or whatnot, but it was called A Season With, and they have video of literally when Jimbo and the medical staff got the diagnosis from the doctors and what they expected right then. So, I mean, if you can find that on YouTube, and Derwin's reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see all that. They went week by week with a 30-minute show, so that obviously was, I don't remember if they did a preseason show, but it was the second game of the season. So it's show two or three. It takes you right into literally when they're looking at his MRI.
All right, yeah, we'll have to look for that. Tell all our listeners should look for that. I know your time is valuable, so we can go quick on the rest of these. I wonder if some of his versatility is starting to hurt him in the draft process when people want to be able to slot him at a position and they're just not sure. Do you think that could be a factor?
Yeah, I think it could be, you know, because maybe he's seen as a jack of all trades and a master of none.
Right.
But it only takes one team to realize this is what this guy's skill set is and this is what he can do. So, I know there's a future for him there, but I think – that could be part of the argument. His interception numbers aren't big. Again, he played 2 years. He finished his college career with 3 picks. You know, Jalen Ramsey comes to mind as another guy who didn't have a lot of picks at FSU, and he's tearing up the NFL right now.
These college quarterbacks just aren't going to test these guys. They're just going to throw elsewhere. That's my take.
Well, and FSU has not played the most aggressive style defense the last few years under Charles Kelly. When Jeremy Pruitt was here, they were more aggressive in attacking the last few years, not as much. I think they're going to return to that. But the point being, to me, especially at the college level where there's limited hours of practice for the opponent, it pays to be aggressive. And had FSU been a little bit more aggressive defensively, you know, he would have had some more inflated numbers just from balls being on the ground or tipped in the air, that sort of thing.
Sure. All right. I've talked your ear off about Derwin. Are there a couple other Seminole players that maybe Redskins fans aren't as aware of right now, but they're going to hear their names called if it's, you know, second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round? Just some guys you think that can help on the next level?
Yeah, there's a couple. Derek Nottie is a big, just a plug in the middle of the defensive front, a defensive tackle.
Skins can use those.
Played his full career at Florida. Actually, he's from up that way, too. He's from somewhere in Virginia, I want to say. Quiet kid, but really good dude, and a position where you're not going to have, you know, I mean, when you're one of the big uglies, you're not going to have some tremendous statistics necessarily,
right.
But a guy that's going to play in the league for a while, Derek Nottie.
Yep, he's from Virginia Beach.
Yeah, there you go.
We got a ton of listeners down there.
Auden Tate is a receiver who has a really good frame, had good numbers last year, not great. He's going to be a little bit raw, but, I mean, he's 6'5". Not Randy Moss speed, otherwise you'd be hearing his name at the top of the draft, regardless of whether he's polished or not. But he has a chance to be a pretty good player for a long time. I mean, they had nine guys.
You surprised Auden Tate is coming out?
You know,
seems like
I'm
he could use a senior year, right?
There's no question. I mean, I guess the argument on that, though, is he'll make a roster and he'll get paid something, which will be more than what he would have gotten paid to be at FSU. So I just think nowadays – these guys see so much about wear and tear that if they've got NFL ability after 3 years, they're just going.
Yep.
You know, Travis Rudolph did this something similar from Florida State a couple of years ago, and he made the Giants as a free agent. Now, he was really a guy because he didn't have the size that should have come back for another year. But Auden Tate, because of his size and his measurables, they won't bypass him.
Just real quick, Tom, you might laugh at this. The NFL.com player profile on Auden Tate, the scout says he looks like he's dragging a sled when he runs. So you can have that for your file.
Well, that would line up with he doesn't have Randy Moss's speed.
Exactly.
Right?
You said it more diplomatically.
Yeah. So he's a second or third night guy on the NFL draft,
yep.
But he was key for Florida State. You know, Matthew Thomas is a guy, 6'2 linebacker. Sort of had a checkered career at Florida State, had some academic issues, but when he put it together, was really good. If you queued up the Orange Bowl tape when FSU beat Michigan, he had a huge goal line hit, probably had 12 tackles that night. He's a guy that's going to play in the league for a while.
Well, and the good news is there's no classes in the NFL.
Yeah,
you don't
you
have to go to biology or whatever it is.
There you go. Yeah, so, I mean, the nine guys that were invited to the combine, it wasn't like they don't have ability.
Yep.
Trying to think who else. He is. So, Tavarius McFadden, now Tavarius McFadden's a really long corner. He's 6'2", led the country in interceptions 2 years ago, then did not have a very good year last year. Got beat, didn't test well in terms of his 40 at the combine. So, you know, at one point people thought he was a first-round corner. He's not a first-round corner based on the measurables, but if you get him in the third round or the fourth round, he's going to make your roster. He's going to play for a while. You know,
okay. That's good. The Skins need some corners after losing a lot of them this offseason. And,
yeah, and
looking at his profile, how can a guy be 6'2 and 198? It's always amazing to me how skinny some of these guys can be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be happy to be 5'8 and 198,
right.
You know, but I'm still working on that.
Right.
I guess the biggest name I've left out here is Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat's a defensive end who got hurt his senior year in high school. He was one of the top recruits in the country, and the knee injury was so serious, they literally thought not only would he not play football again, but, you know, maybe he'd never walk right, maybe he'd even lose his leg kind of thing. Then he comes to FSU and doesn't even redshirt his first year, but ends up playing. Played with a knee brace his 3 years at FSU and was good but not great. Took off the knee brace and went to the combine and was at the top in every level for defensive ends, and now people are looking at him as a freak. So he's probably the guy that's moved up the most.
That's crazy.
Somebody may take him in the first round.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah.
He's from Chesapeake, Virginia, which is that greater Tidewater area, too.
Yeah, Florida State's had success recruiting guys from there. So he's a guy that, after Derwin James, he's probably the next guy off the board from FSU, I think, unless people just have trepidation about his knee, which I don't think they will at this point. He's played 3 years. He took the knee brace off. So he's going to have a good success, too.
All right. Tom, I really appreciate you taking the time with us, man. And maybe we can check back in depending what happens if the Skins land any of these guys. One guy I'll tell you who is just a tremendous human being is Chris Thompson. I'm guessing you interacted with him plenty when he was in Tallahassee, but couldn't be a better guy.
I was just going to tell you, he is one of the fan favorites here. I mean, you're talking about a guy that literally broke his back and tore his ACL, two separate injuries at FSU. And, you know, you've seen him. I mean, he's tiny as could be, and here he is, whatever many years he's been. I mean, long enough that he's going to be vested and get a pension from the NFL. He's from near Tallahassee in Madison County, and I saw him at the spring game last week. Matter of fact, we interviewed him on the radio. Not a better dude has come through FSU than Chris Thompson. He's revered and loved by the people here, no question.
Same with the Skins, man. Could not be a better guy. Tom, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks for the invite. Anytime. Take care.
All right. Take care.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.